It's according to the Gospel of Luke. It wasn't long after Jesus had chose his 12 disciples. He shared the words on the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. And following this, Jesus shared, "But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you." This is God's word for you, God's people. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, last week, we looked at some narrow pathway rules that Paul shared with the church of Colossae. Rules like clothing oneself with mercy and humility and kindness and above all, with love, to forgive anyone who offends us, and whatever we do, whatever we say, to do it as a representative of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, these are, and several others, these words Paul listed for us are truly rules for holy living. Simple, narrow pathway rules. Rules that if a person will follow, they will no doubt change one's life. And not only our life, but also the lives in whom we live with and those whom we associate with. In fact, rules such as these have within them the power to truly change our world. And today we hear a few more of these life-changing worlds, words, these world-changing words, rules for holy living from the lips of Jesus. Do good to those who harm you. Bless those who speak evil or curse you. If someone demands your coat, well, give him the shirt off of your back. You know, give to anyone who asks. Do to others as you'd like for them to do to you. Simple rules, yet somewhat difficult to follow at times. Thus, they are the narrow pathway rules. Narrow because they're a way of living that's not the easiest to follow. And fewer people take this pathway because the wide path is so much easier. Oh, John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, understood the importance of following this narrow pathway and living our lives in sync with God. And so he developed these three general rules for the people called Methodists. Three simple rules that were not just for the people of his day, but for our day as well. And you'll find within these three general rules the sayings of Jesus. All of these rules that call us to walk in step with Christ. Oh, to do no harm to one another, to do good with one another and in each other's lives, and to stay in love with God and how we live. Three simple rules that really characterize what it is to be a United Methodist Christian today. Well, last week we looked at Wesley's first rule for holy living, do no harm. It's simple enough, it's an easy rule to remember, do no harm, but it can be very difficult to practice, especially if the someone who we are to do no harm to has harmed us. Because it's so easy to strike back verbally or to stand in opposition to one that has harmed you. You see, that wide path, man, it is a very easy road to follow in life. But Jesus would call us to a narrow path, a higher way of living. If someone slaps you on the cheek, he says this morning, offer them the other. Do no harm to one another. By our actions, by our inaction, or even by our slowness to action. Think before we act, before we speak, and in our thinking, always ask that question, am I representing the Lord Jesus Christ in a positive way? By what I'm just about to let out of my mouth, or by what I'm allowing myself to do? Do no harm. Well, today we focus on this next rule, to do good. And no doubt it is closely associated with do no harm. And when practiced, it certainly takes us further down that narrow pathway that Jesus would have us to follow. And doing good is not too hard for us to figure out. Is that really a hard thing? Can we think about some things? Can we name some things this morning about how we can do good? How can we do good? Yeah, sending a card is one way to do good. How else? Helping others. How else? How do we do good? Yes, Anya. Donate to the food pantry. Man, we could just keep going on and on and on, couldn't we? You see, it's not too hard to figure out how to do good. But you see, where we might get into trouble is deciding who we should do good to, or how often or when to do good. We see John Wesley, he pinned this down for those early Methodists and for all people who call them Methodists today. Wesley said that we're to do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways that you can, at all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people that you can, as long as you ever can. That's a lot of cans, isn't it? You see, Wesley would have us to understand that doing good is a proactive way of living out our faith. It is choosing a way of life that nourishes goodness and strengthens community. Doing good is a way of living that requires a careful and continual assessment of my life and the world in which we live. It requires an even more radical step than doing no harm by what we say or by what we do or how we act toward those who we might disagree with. You see, doing good is doing good to all, regardless if others like us or if they are like us. Doing good, you see, is not dependent upon those whom we do good to, whether they're worthy or not. Rather, it's dependent upon what God has done in our hearts. And you see, that's really the key that Jesus is talking about this morning whenever he's talking about turning the other cheek and giving the shirt to the person who's stolen your cloak and to not do harm to others, but to do... That's really what Jesus is talking about. It is what's going on in my heart. Because if Jesus is going on in your heart, then we're going to be doing these things. We're going to be doing no harm, and we're going to be doing good. You see, Jesus challenges us to do good, to those who harm us, to give the shirt off your back to the person who takes that coat, to offer up that other cheek, to bless those who speak ill of you. And if you read on in a few more verses, you'll discover that Jesus was not asking us to just roll over and to lie down and get ran over. That's not what he's saying here at all. Jesus is not teaching us that we should just get walked on in life. That's not the point of all of this. Rather, you see, Jesus is lifting up before us this radical understanding of what it truly means to be a child of God, that his people truly have a heart for everyone, for all people, no matter who they are. And not just those whom we find it easy to love and that we care for in life, but for all, even those who despise and mistreat us. Because it's easy to love those who love you, church. Yeah, it's pretty easy to be there for someone when they're your friend. And it's really not all that hard to help someone in need whenever we know them personally. Right? Yeah. But when life gets tough, when our faith really hits the road, you know, is opening your heart and doing good for a person you really don't care that much for, or you know that really doesn't care that much for you. And it can be so hard doing good for a person that you know who will quite likely try to take advantage of you if they can. That your good doing might just bite you. You know, whenever I was just a little guy, I learned that lesson whenever I was probably first grade, I suppose. I was out playing in the yard. I happened to notice this big army ant caught in a spider's web. That ant was huge. It was probably, you know, half inch long, great big black army ant. And it was stuck there in the spider's web and right there on the steps that was leading up to my house. And any of you folks remember the movie The Fly? It was in black and white. It was the guy, he somehow gets caught up in a chamber. He's changing his body from one place to the next or something. And a fly gets in the contraption with him. And he has that fly body. And it's a black and white. It's an old show. And he's got this teeny weeny little bitty head, right? And so anyways, this fly with the teeny weeny little head, or the guy head, he happens to fly into a spider web, right? And he's sitting there in that spider web going, "Help me, help me." You remember that? I'll never forget that, never forget that. I don't know if maybe I just saw that movie or what, but I could just imagine that little ant looking up at me and going, "Help me, help me, help me." You know? And so I did. I get this stick, and I start poking around that spider's web, and I'm hoping that spider won't come out, because I just hate spiders. Oh, with a passion, I hate spiders. And so anyways, that army ant, I finally get him unstuck from the web, and he gets up on my stick, and he runs right up my stick, and he looks up with those little ant eyes, and he goes, and he smiles at me. You know? And then that sucker bites me right on the finger. He just latches a hold of my finger, and I flick him off. And I'm sitting here thinking, my goodness, you know, if I could find that, I would squish the life right out of him. But doing good can sometimes bite you. And no doubt it can be really hard doing good when you know the person that you're helping might quite likely try to take advantage of you. But does that mean we should not do good? Does that mean that we should not do good? Maybe that just means we need to get a longer stick. You know? Maybe it means that we need to be a little bit more careful or a little bit more cautious in our working with that other. But doing good, man, it can be tough to do. And it can be challenging for us, especially when you know that a person's in a bad situation as a result of choices or a result of actions that they've brought on themselves. But listen, all of this is irrelevant to the one who hung on the cross. You know, who looked out at those who had just forsaken him and rejected him. I mean, think about it. These were the very same people who just a week before cried out, "Hosanna to the King." You know, "Here comes Jesus. We love you, Lord." You know, "Hosanna, save us, Jesus." And now many of these same people are crying out, "Crucify him." Jesus brought so much good to the lives of so many, and some repaid him by spitting on him as he carried that cross through the streets, laughing at him, mocking him as he was tortured on that cross. And Jesus' response to all of that? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Even on the cross, Jesus sought to do good to all. And without a doubt, this is the same heart that Jesus would have instilled in his followers. This heart that seeks to do no harm to anyone. This heart that continually seeks to do good to all people, worthy or not. This is the heart that is full of the love of God, because the love of Jesus Christ lives right here. And Jesus tells us, do good. Do good even to everyone. Oh, these are powerful words, church. They're powerful words for us today because they are words that Jesus challenges us with. And thank goodness for people like John Wesley who lifted this before us to make us aware of truly what it is to be a faithful person walking in step with Jesus, to do no harm, to do good, to stay in love with God. And what would our life look like if we actually lived this out every single day? Every day trying to do no harm. Every day working at all we could to do good. You know, John Wesley didn't just talk the talk and that he truly walked the walk. He practiced what he preached. He actively did good throughout all of his life. And this guy is a guy who founded schools and orphanages. He started charitable organizations to feed and to clothe the poor. You talk about do good. He visited prisoners, and he even started a fund that loaned money to women so that they could buy looms and material to make cloth. Now, understand, this is at the turn of the Industrial Revolution, and he is loaning money to women for them to begin their own businesses. This is not the days and when women did business. But Wesley is reaching out and bringing hope and bringing change of life, trying not to do harm and trying to do good. Think about that. Wesley touched the lives of thousands of people by doing all the good that he could do. And, you know, some of us might be thinking this guy was probably pretty well off to do all of this good. And, you know, that's great for a person who's wealthy and all, but, you know, guess what? Wesley, oh, he was wealthy. He was a very wealthy man. But Wesley used his wealth to do good to others by blessing others. Do you know this is a man who lived on 28 pounds a year? That's about $42 a year. That's what he lived on from 1731 until his death of 1791. For 60 years, this man lived on basically $42 a year. Okay? His income grew in that time from 30 pounds to over 1,400 pounds. In other words, his income grew from about $42 a year to about $1,200 a year. I'm sorry, about $2,100 a year. And guess what? He continued to give everything over that $42 mark for the rest of his life. Think about that. Here is a man who made $2,100 and he lived on $42 so he could give away $2,058 to orphanages, to schools, to loaning money, to women. And his motto that he lived by, make all you can, save all you can, so you can give all you can. Well, church, you know, we can't all be John Wesley's, and I don't believe the Lord would want us to. You know, he already had one of those. But we can be who God is calling us to be. For we all have the capability of doing good, to do good in this world of ours, as the Lord would want us to. See, doing good is truly a proactive way of living out our faith as disciples of Jesus Christ. No doubt there is so much need in this world of ours, so much that it can be overwhelming. In choosing which good we're going to do, that can be difficult. Sometimes, you know, we have to choose to do what we know and what we know about and what we're capable of or have experience with. Sometimes when we try to do good, it doesn't always turn out the way that we expect it to. Sometimes we do get bit. It may not be received as we would hope that it would. But know this. God simply asks us to be faithful, to do good as we can. And I want to tell you, God will be pleased with us for making the effort to do so. If we take to heart what Wesley expected of his church family, to do all the good that you can, by all the means that you can, in all the ways that you can, into all the places that you can, all the times that you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. That everyone who our life touches, even our community, will be changed. It'll be blessed. It'll be encouraged. That's just what happens as a result of God's people doing all the good you can by every means, in every way, in every place, at every time, to every person, as long as we ever can. So this week, I want to challenge you to join me in our journey to doing all the good that we can by all the means, by all the ways, by all the places, by all the times, and by all the people, as long as we ever can. And stay in love with God, the catalyst that empowers and enables and gives us the desire to do no harm and to do good. Let's prepare our hearts this morning to share in Holy Communion. It was the night in which Jesus was betrayed. He met with his disciples in the upper room, and there he took bread, and he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, for this is my body, broken for you. This is the body of Christ for you, God's people." After the supper, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you take and you drink of this cup, you do this in remembrance of me until my coming. This is the blood of Christ poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins." Those who are assisting me, would you please come and let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for this bread and for this cup and for this time this morning to gather as your church around this table, Lord, meeting you hand in hand and heart in heart. Lord, we ask that you would just fill these elements with your presence and your grace so that as we partake of them, we might partake of you. Fill us, O Lord, with your healing touch, with your forgiveness, with the renewal that only comes by seeking you and choosing to be your people. Enter into these gifts, Lord, and enter into our hearts in every way. And God, we love you and we give you all of our thanks and praise. For it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Go now in the strength and the power and the grace of the God who loves you and who loves all, and may you experience the peace of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.